Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. On Money FM 89.3, Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and it's time to talk tech with our tech contributor, Wong Kai Yee from The Straits Times. Always happy to have you, Kai Yee.
Great to be back this week.
So Google revealed yesterday, as part of parent company Alphabet's fourth quarter earnings report, that YouTube generated nearly $5 billion in ad revenue in the last 3 months. This is the first report under newly instated Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai, who took over as the chief executive of the entire company late last year, after co-founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin stepped back from day-to-day duties and promoted Pichai, formerly Google CEO, to the top spot. So, Kai, why is YouTube's earnings report so significant? Overall, how well did the division do?
I think not a lot of people realize that up to today, and that is, I think, in 15 years that Google has since bought YouTube, that they have never actually said how much that division earns. So this is the first earnings report that they have included YouTube inside it. And it's for probably a good reason, as we shall see later. So basically, in 15 years as a Google-owned platform, Google bought YouTube in 2006 for $1.65 billion. And now Google has revealed how much these YouTube hosted ads contribute to the search giant's bottom line. On an annual basis, Google says YouTube actually generates $15 billion last year and contributed around roughly 10% to all of Google revenue. So those figures made YouTube's ad business nearly one-fifth the size of Facebook's and more than six times larger than all of Amazon-owned Twitch. So Twitch is a live streaming video platform, and all of these are sort of competing in the same space of video content, video production, video hosting, and all that.
And give us some context. Is that good? $5 billion in the last 3 months is good, yeah.
So, well, let's see. Let's take a look at how many subscribers that YouTube actually has. So Google says YouTube has more than 20 million subscribers across its premium, the ad-free YouTube. I've signed up for that, by the way. It's amazing. Gets rid of all the ads on YouTube. And music premium offerings, as well as more than 2 million subscribers to its paid TV service. So now, Alphabet, the parent company of Google, says revenues from those products are bundled into the other category, quote-unquote, which made $5.3 billion last quarter. And this other category also includes hardware like Pixel phones, Google Home speakers, that sort of thing. So it makes it a little bit hard to gauge the specific performance of any one product bundle under that category. But nevertheless, it's good to see how much YouTube is contributing to Google. First time ever.
Well, Kai, I'm just curious, how well did Alphabet do as a company for the whole of last year?
Right, so we're coming to why Google's reporting YouTube's profits. So Alphabet made $46 billion in revenue in the quarter ended December 31st last year. It's a 17% jump over 2018. So nearly $10.7 billion of that was profit, the company says. And it, of course, as a search company, Google obviously puts a lot of emphasis on that. And that remains the biggest moneymaker of Alphabet's sprawling empire. And that earned $27.2 billion for the quarter. But alongside YouTube ad revenue, Google also disclosed the financial performance of its cloud computing division, so Google Cloud. Google Cloud made $2.6 billion in revenue for the quarter. So overall, actually, Google beat Wall Street expectations on profit but missed on revenue, which could also be one of the reasons why Google may be disclosing YouTube and Google Cloud revenues for the first time.
Just to pad some numbers in the results.
Just to put some numbers on the paper, make it seem a little bit more interesting. I mean, it's no big loss. It's not even a loss, but it just shows how big Google can be, and all these divisions that haven't reported in 15 years.
Hopefully not just a bunch of hot air, though, but Dyson's plans for an air purifier that could double as a pair of headphones have been published by the UK Patent Office at a time when face masks have become must-have accessories to fight the spread of the deadly coronavirus across Asia. Now, Kai Yee, the timing of this harebrained invention, if you will, couldn't be better. What is it exactly?
This is the perfect time for anything.
Harebrained?
Harebrained will be nice. Will be a nice change from all the coronavirus stories we've been reading.
True.
And also a good time for any sort of air purification product to come along. So the product, developed by Dyson, it houses a filter within the headphones, right? So bear with me here. In a form of a nozzle that provides filtered air to the user. So
pointing towards your face,
exactly.
Maybe?
Exactly. So, okay. In the diagram that I'm looking at here, you have a normal pair of headphones, right? You wear it over your head, but mm-hmm. there is another band that goes around the front of your mouth. And apparently that sucks in. So the headphones have a built-in sort of motor that sucks in air, purifies it, and then, you know,
blows it back out.
Blows it back out towards you so you can breathe clean air if you live in a place with smog, for example.
So if I could, it kind of looks like the headphones perhaps that telephone operators of old
exactly.
might have worn
yeah.
with a
exactly, with
built-in
mic sticking out towards your mouth, except that this time you have clean air instead of hot air.
So are you spitting at it as well, right?
Yes, probably.
Is this another one of Dyson's a huge range of patented products? And if so, will it really come to the market? Will we get to see it?
Well, let's look at the history Dyson has of its products. You know, it's got a huge range of products right now. A lot of consumer products that people, very aspirational products, products that are well made, look good, and people actually save up to buy those things.
Streamlined.
Like, how many of you have actually heard people say, "Oh, I want to buy a Black & Decker versus I want to buy a Dyson vacuum
That's
cleaner,"
true.
For example, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a Black & Decker.
They actually make vacuum cleaners. So people actually do aspire to these products. And obviously, you know, Dyson is a big company. They've got lots of engineering divisions. And only most recently, they were in the market with trying to build an electric car. If we cast our minds back, say, a few months, about 2 or 3 months, Dyson said they wanted to build an electric car. And right here in Singapore as well, that's a very huge undertaking. You need batteries, you need equipment suppliers, people to build your interiors. And that really didn't pan out. I think partly because Singapore does not have a market, a car industry, even a small one, for example. So that project kind of fizzled out. And as we shall see later, Dyson also has a history of making other products that failed. And hopefully this product, this smog purification pair of headphones, as interesting as it sounds, does it really have a market? You know, would you buy it?
I'm wondering why it has to be a two-in-one situation.
Yeah,
why not just sort of make a purifying face mask, if you will.
Hey, you know,
if
you're happy listening
purpose.
To music, you want some fresh air, you know.
Okay.
If the music fits, you're listening to some jazz.
Fair enough.
And okay. You want to breathe some fresh air. It could,
fair enough.
Yeah, they could link it to the music you're listening to.
We're speaking with our tech contributor from the Straits Times, Wong Kai Yee, steering away from the insane. Seeing traffic jams in Google Maps can really help you plan your route home from work. But a video posted this weekend seems to show that a traffic jam could be spoofed into Google Maps with nothing more than a bunch of phones piled into a little red wagon. What? Okay, we need some explanation. Did someone actually take the time, Kai, to drag a bunch of phones into the street to create a traffic jam?
Long story short, yes, that person actually did that. So how mapping services determine whether there's a traffic jam at your area is basically how fast the phones are moving, right? So you've got a whole bunch of phones in the area that are moving very slowly, and all the information is sent back to, you know, Google's or Waze servers or Apple Maps or what have you. The mapping software will determine that, hey, you know, your average speed is about 20 kilometers an hour. There's a whole bunch of phones clustered in this area. Therefore, you have a traffic jam, and that's how you get, you know, the red lines on Google Maps. A Berlin-based artist, he has taken this even further, one step further. His name is Simon Veckert, and he examines the value and impact of technology. So basically what he did was he took a red wagon and pulled 99 smartphones with all Google Maps.
99? How did he get 99? Okay, never mind.
A couple of smartphones cost about 100, so 99, okay. He might have spent, I don't know, maybe $10,000
okay.
on this stunt.
Okay.
It's a very expensive stunt, as we now have realized.
Yes.
But I think he has made his point. So as he pulls the wagon, the streets get progressively redder on Google Maps. But, you know, the streets he was pulling the wagon on were all empty. So, you know, it kind of shows how
trying to fake a traffic jam.
People can spoof technology. Technology, people think may be foolproof, but you know, someone pulling a red wagon with phones in them in it, easily spoofable.
And why on Google Earth do we know, Kai?
Well, I guess he just wanted to make a point.
For fun.
Yeah, for fun, you know. And Google actually said in response that it hasn't quite cracked how to correctly track traffic data that comes from toy wagons, but it can distinguish between Google Maps data coming from cars and motorcycles in several countries, which kind of makes you wonder, like, in what other ways can we spoof technology? Like, what other ways can we make technology sort of go haywire, not its intended purpose?
I'm sure our friend from Berlin will help us out soon. So speaking of fun, you always have a fun tech fact for us, Kai.
Sure. Speaking of Dyson, like I said earlier, Dyson actually had some products that probably did not see too much of the light of day. And Dyson actually came up with a washing machine back in the early 2000s. I don't think anyone remembers that. Washing machine in the early 2000s called the Dyson CR01 Contra Rotator.
Ooh, okay.
What's happened to it?
Yeah, what's happened to it?
There are many rotating in the ether somewhere. So there were many explanations. I was reading up on this. The product was either too expensive or it didn't work. And I was just reading reviews from the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It said that the washing machine broke down quite frequently.
Oh, dear. Did it at least get clothes clean?
Yeah, maybe not, according to one-star reviews on multiple websites that I was trawling through or looking through the archives of some websites, and the one-star review said, nope, didn't even
work. Oh, it was rated one star.
Yeah, one star out of five.
Oh, dear.
So
glad, though, Dyson's found its niche, in the vacuum cleaners and hair dryers. And
obviously,
and
the hair dryers are very popular, I hear.
Exactly, the hair dryers are amazing, as are their vacuum cleaners. They're just improving them every year. And people aspire to buy them, just like Apple products, actually.
Always a pleasure. Tech contributor Wong Kai-yi from The Straits Times. Thanks for joining us today, Kai-yi.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.